Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that upon us, Lord, truly has come the end of all the ages, and there is nothing left now but the complete change in your great plan, and we're part of that. We're looking forward, Lord, to walking into immortality, because now you set yourself at the head of the church to raise the dead and bring all things in subjection, and we're glad, Lord, that we're a part of that. You're going to bring these natures, you're going to bring these bodies, everything into subjection to Christ who is Lord. And we're thankful for it. Now help us in the study of your word, Lord, that it may do you justice in this sense, that it be truly your word that's given back and given to the people, Lord, and be a blessing to us all as we see whatever lies therein. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been looking at water baptism in order to see the importance of it, and we found that it evidently has a deeper prospect than what we first thought before our studies. And there's a chapter 10 here in the book of Acts, beginning at verse 34, where Peter is brought into contact with the Gentiles so that the word might be preached to them and begin to fulfill the scripture that in Abraham, that the seed of Abraham, the royal seed of Abraham, Christ, should all nations be blessed. Now he said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Now that's where it went, to Israel. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, because see, they're part of that nation, by virtue of the fact that he's stationed there, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, when him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. That proved it. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, that's the words that you heard, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because it on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have already been baptized with the Holy Ghost the same as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, of course, 47 is very important because it says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now, you'll notice in here, there's what apparently is a reversal of the scripture, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These people received the Holy Spirit, and on that ground, water cannot be forbidden. And so this does two things as you look at the scripture. Number one, it lets you know that these Israelites did not know at this time that God was literally receiving the Gentiles through Jesus Christ as part of his body. They didn't know it, and this was the only way that they could know it. There was no way that they would have baptized these Gentiles normally. They would not have done it. Cornelius could have come and said, I've had a vision. He said, well, I have visions too. Well, you see, I believe that we should do like you do. Well, how do I do? Well, you repent and you get baptized in water and receive the Holy Ghost. They say, no way. Sorry, it's not for you. See, so God had to show them that it was for the Gentiles. And when they knew that already repentance and eternal life had been granted, Peter then said, who can forbid water? Someone would say, well, now, hey, hold it. They already got the Holy Ghost. Who needs water? They need water. See? You just can't drop it. There's no way you can turn. Now, let's elucidate this verse 47 by going into Acts 11. And we won't read all 1 to 17. We'll just read there where verse 12. And you know the story, the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. These six brethren also came with me and entered the man's house. Now that was sacrilegious. That's like putting a sheep in a pig pen. Now the Jews or the Israelites should not have gone into the Gentiles to eat with them. See, you don't eat with dogs. Now, they go in there. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house should be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Very funny, he didn't remember that before at his own baptism. In other words, what you're looking at here is the definitive experiences in the two baptisms. They're both positive and powerful. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now, how could he withstand God? There's no way he could, except by walking away. And saying, well, there's something very funny here. Secondly, he would have to withstand God by refusing water baptism. So he couldn't withstand God. He said, look, it's been proven to me. So, even though there seems as though there's a reversal in the formula, we must stay with the formula. So, they've been baptized, received the Holy Ghost, now bring water. See, you simply can't get away from it. It won't work. Now, we're not yet free to declare this to be a climax on this portion of Scripture, water baptism. So we go to Acts 15. In Acts 15, we better read that beginning from verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised, after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Lie from the pit of hell. Except you repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. Now here's a direct perversion of the Word of God, adding to it. Did this help bring on the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which was a many, many tribulations? The thought. It's a thought. And therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. When they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. How much did they believe? Now we're looking at first century Christianity. Already loused up. You know, if you study water baptism, you will find they argued about water baptism for babies. The water baptism in the first century right down has been a source of a problem. You know, you might as well understand that a sower went forth to sow and he sowed good seed and there was a dirty rascal that came right behind him and sowed bad seed and leave him alone till they both ripen. He said, I'll take care of the bad seed. You know, we don't like that. I don't especially. When it's not time to apply the blowtorch, when God will do his own applying of the blowtorch, you better keep the blowtorch away. Reminds me of a friend of mine way back in Canada years and years ago during Depression. He's very foolish. He decided to burn a wasp nest in his grain bin with the blowtorch and burn the bin down. You might have to put your tail on fire to try to take that blowtorch. I'm talking to these aliens. You can stand by and listen and take heed. Ha! Yes, it rose up and said it was need to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. What for? What would have done? It would have taken away the sovereign grace of Jesus Christ. They'd have said, well, let's get clean by pots and pans and washings and ordinances. Hogwash. You need an inside job. These men and these women in Hollywood that have a nose job, I advise them a heart job. And they come out looking better to the world, but they look worse to God. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And they said, shut up, who made you a leader, fathead? They didn't say that, someone sure must have thought it. People haven't changed. Ha! I can see Brother Branham at this end time getting up and tell these bunch of Laodicean, Nicolaitan bunch of guys out there, these tares planted by the enemy, these churchmongers. And he said, God raised me up as a witness, and my message is forerunning the second coming of Jesus Christ. They said, well, come on, this was gone to sea. This what happened back there is gone to sea. Now he said, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. I like that. Pause it. God which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? Now they did that in the wilderness. See, they're trying to get around the word of God, either ditching it or adding to it or doing something, and this is the same thing that was in the provocation. And they're trying to do it right now with this message. And when they do it, they provoke God. And the scripture says those Jews that rose up against those men that brought the word of God, they blaspheme. Now you think people aren't blaspheming this message these days? You've got to be a little bit off your rocker if you don't think so. I know we say, well, Brother Dale, that word is too strong. Well, then why didn't you rip it out of your Bible? Now, how can you say that word is too strong when you smell like Limburger cheese yourself? Huh? That's nice. I put things very nice. Very, very erudite person. I speak very beautifully. And as you know, my language is fluid. If you get up front, you might get spat on. And I didn't say fluently. I said fluidly. Yeah, I know people don't like rough preaching. But look, let's face it. There's no time for this sweet talk anymore. When you go back 2,000 years and see what lay there in the dust to bring forth the fruit in this hour, don't let anybody tell me that this message is not going to be blasphemed. And men aren't going to rise up. Because the earth, at the right time, at the word of God, brought forth the seed that was lying there. And the seed of absolute deception comes forth in this age. And the greatest sign of the presence of the Son of Man is that which rises up against it. The gates of hell are against it. Now, why do you tempt God? To put a yoke upon them. Change the word to do this, to do that, which either our fathers were able to bear. Brother Branham came and laid down the word of God and said, what brings marriage and divorce? He said, sex. And a man comes by and preaches, husbands, don't touch your wives, because Brother Branham said, Paul suffered, you and I suffer. You and suffering means suffering, so you can go to bed with her, but you can't touch her, so you lie there and suffer. I'm telling you what has been preached since the prophet died. You wonder I get mad and scream. I'm not mad at you. But I can just feel those wheels turning inside like somebody threw a bunch of sand in my gearbox. You talk about a bunch of rotten, perverted liars around the country. Where'd they come? Right from back here. That seed was just waiting there to come right forth. And when the hour came for this end time message that precedes that literal coming, it's right here manifested. And all the multitude kept silence. It'd be nice if they'd have shut up, but they didn't do it. All right. You'll notice in here that right down the line, we have that the baptism with the Holy Ghost answers the conscience or the hearts of the people, of which water baptism is the answer of the conscience. The man says, I've got a good conscience toward God. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm standing for the blood, and the blood's standing for me. I believe in eternal life, and that's what it's all about. When I rise, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's his good conscience. And water baptism signifies it. That's part of it. We'll get to more later on. Then the Holy Ghost comes back, and God answers to the good conscience. And God, which knoweth the heart, bears them witness. That's why Simon never got the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in water, but it wasn't with a good conscience. See, he'd seen something, but there wasn't true repentance. Now, these old birds in here that were fighting, they needed to get another type of repentance. Their repentance wasn't a repentance to be repented of. They had a repentance to be repented of. They had to rethink their rethinking. Brother, in this day and age where people got to rethink their rethinking the prophet brought, something's wrong somewhere. But you can see just where they are. And you know what people who rethink, they're rethinking what they do. They leave the message every single time. Ain't nothing to rethink. They're vindicated. See, and all of this is examples to it. All right, the Holy Spirit baptism answers back to the conscience of the heart which is right toward Almighty God. So, we see that water baptism is on the part of the candidate. In other words, he goes into water baptism on his part, looking to eternal life, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is the rebirth. That water baptism is his answer to God. It is a witness to men before God. See, all right. Since this is so, we had better know what the correct witness is. What is the correct witness? Why is he going in that water? To begin with, it is the witness to what has been heard through someone's preaching. Because that's exactly what it says in Mark 16. He that believeth, went all the world and preached the gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that doesn't believe. Now, doesn't add baptism. Because if you're not believing right, your baptism doesn't do you good. There's got to be the correct revelation that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there can be lots of things wrong with what you believe in that area. That's very true. There can be many things wrong with it because the word wasn't given till this hour. Their thinking could be off in certain areas. It's been off for 2,000 years. But they knew that they should receive the Holy Ghost. They knew the word. Repent. Be baptized. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, long as the ages knew that, they could walk into the presence of God in that sort of way. All right. You go into all the world to preach the gospel. And then to those that hear the gospel, they can repent. They can believe and be baptized. Now, let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 17th verse. And you notice in here what it says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believeth, he that hears and believes the truth. Now, to do that, you've got to repent. You've got to have a change of mind. And then you'll go into the water. And thereby you receive the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice here that the 17th verse here says, so then faith cometh by hearing. So then faith is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is a capstone sentence or a summation sentence. It's true, it's a concluding sentence. Now, what does that rest upon? It rests upon the first 16 verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, is they might be saved. That's verse 1 of chapter 10. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God. But not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
but having a zeal just the same for God. But notice, going about to establish their own righteousness through that perverted zeal, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Back in 1968, Dallas, Texas, Brother Branham said to a very fine man that Brother Branham admired, and he said, "Your zeal outruns your knowledge." Right here what you saw here. Now listen, verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now it doesn't say there's things in the law that you don't obey. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, refraining from adultery doesn't save you. But when you are born again, you still don't commit adultery. But the fact that you don't commit adultery does not make you righteous. It is Christ that makes you righteous, and thereby a man does not prefer and does not want to commit adultery or covet or lie or steal or do those things that are dishonoring to himself or to others. It won't be there if he's born again. That's why there's no such thing as a homosexual preacher born again. Ha! I don't care if he speaks in tongues and raises the devil, he's going to hell anyway. Because it says, "Such were some of you, but you're not anymore." Okay, Christ is the end of the law. But it doesn't mean there's no law. There's a law of the Spirit of God, which does not commit sin. Doesn't meditate, doesn't plant, doesn't want, it won't enter into it. Now you can be fooled. Now, for Moses describes the righteousness which is the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You can't live by the law, you die. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, "Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is, bring Christ down from above. Descend the deep, that is, bring him up again from the dead. What does it say? The word is nigh to the mouth. And in their heart, with that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that tells you exactly what the gospel is in a nutshell. That Jesus died for the sins of men, lay in the grave for 3 days, and was raised by the Father. And the heavens were purified with the blood of Almighty God, and the blood stands there as the entrance of mercy, the putting away of sin. For the Scripture says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. Go to all the world and preach the gospel. And Peter stood right there at Pentecost under the Holy Ghost and said, "The promise unto you and to your children and all that are far off." And he thought that verse of Scripture meant down the generations of the Jews when the far off were the Gentiles. Jews, children, Jews, children, Jews, Gentiles afar off. Peter couldn't understand some of the things he said. Now, how then shall they call on him whom they have not, in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believes what you tell them simplistically, a way has made to turn men from sin and unto God and save him and redeem him. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his rising from the dead, the shedding of his blood, his propitiation, his mediation and his intercession. How can a man know of it unless somebody goes to tell him? So the gospel is handed down from generation to generation, seed to seed. But it begins to get very corrupt. And the word dies, and God sends a fresh messenger with a fresh anointing, taking that same word, giving life back to it. Preachers going on out, men hearing that word, repenting. They come to the knowledge of salvation. They're baptized in water, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? You mean to tell me those Pharisees that caused that trouble were ever sent to God? They weren't sent to God. They were a bunch of blasphemers, disputers, and seducers. People say, "Well, I believe." "What do you believe?" "I believe Methodist." "Well, that puts you up." "So I believe Baptist." "You're gone to the rest of them." "I believe Roman Catholic." "I believe this." "They were Pharisees." "They believe." "What do they believe?" See? "What do they believe unto?" Well, you say, well, is that fair? Yes, that is fair. John, the Apollos, went through the coast, down through Corinth, up through Ephesus, and he preached the baptism of John, who was proclaiming Christ. And so they baptized unto John, looking forward to Jesus. Now what happened? They believed wrong. Now Paul didn't say you're not some kind of believer. He said, well, he said, just a minute, you guys got the Holy Ghost down here. Well, they said, we never heard of him. Well, said, I thought you were baptized. We were. Man alive, what kind of baptism did you get into? Into John. Oh, he said, that answers it. You're wrong. Now, they could have stopped right there. If they'd have stopped right there, they would not have been saved. There's no way the book of Ephesians would have been written to them. See, people just don't want to understand these things. All right. How beautiful, as it's written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed their report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, these people heard the word of God preached. That wrought in them the principles of faith through the Holy Spirit. They could turn their minds around by the grace of Almighty God. And then they could be baptized in water. So here you are. This capstone verse of Revelation 10 and 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Absolutely is the gospel that is preached. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Just a few verses. 1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. How many people back there believed in vain? How many people today believe in vain? That means their believing didn't do them and won't do them one bit of good. You wasted your time. How many Methodist Baptists and the rest of us are believing in vain? How many believe in William Branham in vain? Let me tell you something. If we are right concerning his presence, and I believe we are, I wouldn't preach it. Then those that fight it, their believing has got to be in vain. Because how can you deny him? Because that's the scripture says so. How can you deny him who's going to lead us into the millennium and still make the millennium? How are you going to have cheesecake without cheese? Now, they understand that, but they don't understand this. Now, Paul says, you keep that in mind. Now, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received of how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture, and he was seen of the apostles and even me. Now, there's your gospel. See, a person only has to believe that much and make it. But if that's only what you might call a mental, theological aspect, you can read this much, which is a yard and a half, and miss it a million miles. You can do the same with this message, too. You can read just a teeny portion, 100%, and not even know anything else about the rest of it. Like you'll wash her with her one tape or her three tapes. And she'll make it while the guy with the whole library is going to sit there and say, well, you see, Brother Branham made a mistake when he said that which is perfect is come. I don't care if he translates every one of Brother Branham's sermons and puts it in print. I don't care if he makes a concordance that will be 15 miles high. You deny that which is perfect is come. You deny what the prophet said. He threw his own interpretation on it and thought it was a little gift of prophecy. It's not. The word of God has always come in sections. It has always come in sections. The last section's in, it's all over. See? Got too much up here. I'm the guy that's supposed to be the theologian and so smart that I've made everything rotten for everybody. How come I can see these things and the smart guys can't? See, the thing is, I'm not half as smart as they think I am. It is that God has given me a little bit of something. See, that's the whole thing. Now, here's what Paul said. He said, my gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins according to Scripture, was raised according to Scripture, was seen according to Scripture, and everything that was scriptural oriented. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, Peter said the same thing in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. And I'm trying to show you this. Here is the preaching of this word. And what water baptism follows, what preaching of what word? You don't have to know about the Jews coming in and the Jews leaving. You don't have to know about the Gentiles coming in, their fullness being over. You don't have to know all the things about the Antichrist and this and that. Here's what you got to know. Here's where you start. This is what does it. This is what brings eternal life. Not quoting the whole Bible. This is where your faith lies. Acts 4, 8 to 12. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, ye elders of people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be known unto you all, and to the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him to this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set up not by of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, he told you right there, that's salvation. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died to remission of sins, he was crucified and hanged upon Calvary, and he was buried for 3 days, and in the 3 days he rose again. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And you take that name, and you get baptized in water. That's sufficient to give you the Holy Ghost. Now, let's get this flat. How many people do get the Holy Ghost? And how many people do believe? Their believing is in vain because they never did get to the Holy Ghost. Because if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're sealed in. So how many get there? How many got back there in that day? The Lord added daily, such as should be saved, what if they shouldn't be saved? None other name given under heaven amongst men whereby ye must be saved. No other name amongst men. And how come a man is a Baptist, Presbyterian, one to threeness, and you name it? Well, I'll give you one name, goat. Instead of go to, you rich man weeping house, say go, you rich man weeping house. A little perversion don't hurt anything the way I do it. Water baptism is the witness that you have done that. It is you identifying with all that God has done for you in and through Jesus Christ and you accepting it publicly. That is why Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There is none to be left out if you want to go this route in the waterway. There's where the light is. See? Now, that name is the only name, the only true way to identify yourself with him by water baptism. There's no other way. Everyone must identify that way because there is no other way. You've got to have that name. Now, we talked about that name in message number 2. Look over here in Acts, in Romans, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not use fingering. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were baptized unto Moses. Moses was a part of the word. They were baptized later on unto John. It says in Acts 19, what were you baptized to? Unto John. They tried, some people no doubt tried to baptize unto Paul. He said, no dice. Then Peter took the time of the water baptism of the earth and brought up the name of Noah. So you see, there's a name there. Now, every one of those had something to do with the word. Each of those men, Moses, Noah, Paul, John, everyone, had something to do with the word. Each had a part in the word. But Jesus was the word and the fulfiller of the word. And the fullness of that same word. It's a mighty different story. Not one of these men brought salvation. All they could do was preach it. Yet each had his name associated in baptism. Moses never let Israel out. It was God that let Israel out. All Moses did was botch things up. First thing he did was disbelieve God. God said, you go on down there, Moses, and I'll tell you what. He's not going to let you go. No way. He's going to make it worse. And as soon as things got worse, Moses began weeping and crying. And he said, Lord, you didn't only not bring them out. He said, but you made it worse. He said, what are you groaning about? I said, I told you. Some people turn around and say, now, what is this all? What is all this anyway? I've been saved. I've repented. And furthermore, I was baptized, received the Holy Ghost, and now William Branham, you come around and you tell me I got to get rebaptized because I wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What are they doing? They're groaning just like old Moses. They can't take the word of the Lord. Now people even stand back and say, well, I really don't know how I was baptized, but I don't think maybe I was baptized really okay. I kind of think so. Well, you're dead. I'm not judging. I'm telling the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, you must be baptized over again. Jesus' name won't do it. Because the fallacy lies in that doctrine. And when you're taking Jesus' name, and you're a oneness with the Jesus-only doctrine, you're wrong. You've got a wrong repentance. You're repenting in vain. Your Christianity's in vain. You say in vain, listen, okay, come on. Either throw this in the garbage can or believe it. Make up your mind. Do you think God's some slot machine or some or some dice that you whirl and throw? Or some spinning wheel? No way. That word of God's like a rock. It's a hammer. It's a killer. But it's a maker alive or two. God says, I kill and I make alive. No, they just, look at here. Moses' name was there. That name was there. But I tell you, all they did was point to it. But he came. And now we only can point at him if nothing else to point at. All right. Is it possible to recognize the Savior, who himself is actually our personal salvation, and not use his name? No way. Can we be married to him and not use his name? No way. Now, let's go back to Acts, the third chapter. That's still in the days of early Pentecost. And you know what that's all about. This fellow gets wonderfully healed. And Peter said, why do you marvel at this? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus Christ, did you spit on? Did you sneer at? You mocked. He could do what all of you put together, couldn't you? And you still sneered. And you're still sneering. Boy, there sure must have been a silent bunch just about that time. You think for 1 minute that's not exactly what's in that Bible? That's exactly what's in that Bible. I'm telling you right now, putting in between the lines. Because believe me, they knew. They knew that they had done it. They knew that was their attitude. But you know what? They had the guts to spit right back in his face. Brother Brown sat in the platform with a bunch of oneness preachers. To let you know how much use I got for that junk. He called the sin in one man. And all the preachers walked off the platform. Because they sooner stand with the sinner than the sinless one. Where's their organization under those conditions today? Dead! I'm going to tell you, you'll be dead just the same as they're dead if you fool with these things. Yeah. I don't tell you these things because I'm perfect. I tell you these things because they're true. And I'm listening just as careful as you are. You know, that's funny. I won't tell you about your leaders and then. Listen, you delivered him up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate. Pilate, their enemy. A Roman. A dog. Sure. You took him. Now, Pilate was simply a Jew, and he'd become a governor. Then here's a Jew that turned on his own people. Filthy, rotten, no good. And they stood with him. Against Jesus. Go on, say something. That was hot that day. That was hot when that fellow Peter preached. He was into this guy. touching their collars and their togas, their toenails, whatever they're doing. Boy, they was hot that day. And you denied the Holy One, even the just one, desire to murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life whom God hath raised the dead, whoever witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, that Jesus hath given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you are ignorant. So the news for you. The day of ignorance is over. It's over, and you can be forgiven, he said, if you listen now. How often does this word go around the William Branham priest, the preachers, taken by faithful brethren around the country? And they, but they're just as bumptious, they turn it on down. But those things which God before showed by the mouth of all his prophets and Christ himself are so fulfilled. And they said, fat, what are you talking about? So William Branham came to restore the word, ah, fat, what are you talking about? Glory said the same thing from India. He came over here and he said, you people over here, he said, you needed Brother Branham for the Bible. We didn't, because we always had it. I heard Laurie preach one night. He used one little bit of scripture. In my sermons, you'll hear me read as many as 200 scriptures. I'll use more Bible in one sermon than most of these guys use in a year. And they'll come together, too. Not both. He's just telling you the truth, because it is the truth. If I didn't have faith in what the prophet said and what I've got, I'd get out of here right now. That's why something inside of me knows I'm going to live. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. You say, they are just a minute. Don't just admit me with anything, brothers. Let me tell you flat. I know what I know. Nobody can take it from me. See? Now he said, repent ye therefore and be converted. Get the Holy Ghost. So your sins can be blotted out. And he said, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he said, that presence will be here. And that's not the presence you and I are talking about, although it is, but he says, that which is visibly manifested before the eyes of him being there. Now, nobody ever saw the pillar of fire. The camera took it. See? We go a little further on that, too. Brother Branham said, he appeared in signs and wonders. And then that's what this great refreshing is. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was proclaimed in advance. It was preached. It was announced. But he said, the heavens of God are retaining him. That's exactly true. The presence is here manifested, but Jesus, the Son of God, risen, is still up there while that's going on. And he's going to stay there until you and I are ready for him. It's going to take the preaching word. So what am I doing preaching water baptism, getting this thing all mixed up? It's just dangerous. Let's turn me loose up here, brother. I tell you, it comes dangerous to hear me both, because I get wound up. And there ain't no way I'm going to get in unless I break my spring. Heaven's got to retain, just keep him there. I'm going to get down. Listen, get down further. Moses truly said to the fathers, the prophet of the Lord your God, raising every brethren I'm going to meet. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever he's saying to you. Come to pass, every soul that not hear that prophet should be destroyed among the people. He and all the prophets are standing, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, the covenant God made with the father saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of that. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, standing to bless you and turning it. Now you see, what's he done there? He raised him up to the Jews first, then he's going to be, now listen, when he was raised up to the Jews, they hammered that name. That name, Lord Jesus Christ, had a preeminence. Now, Peter gets up at Pentecost. See, they said, listen, this took place. We know it did. Peter at Pentecost says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, remission of sin. Now, what are they saying? They are saying he was here. See? So we use his name. Now, that's what we're talking about. But listen, let's go to John 4, 1-2. Now, just hold on what I said, and I'm going to get to some more scripture right away. They said, he was here. This is the one. He's gone. So now it's his name. All right, John 4, 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, so Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. Now, whose name were they baptizing in? Jesus' name. But Jesus didn't baptize. Why? because he was waiting for John 7:37-39, when he was raised from the dead, he baptized with the Holy Ghost, so he could not baptize with water. But he could be baptized unto. You follow? He never did baptize in water. But he was baptized unto. They used his name. Now he's going to fill with the Holy Ghost. All right. They used his name. Now listen. When present, they used his name because they had to. And when he was gone, that's all they had. So they had to use the name. Now listen. For 2,000 years he's been absent. And he left his name. But today he is present. And demands his name. Under the seventh seal. Thus saith the Lord. Those who have not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ must be. Why? Because he's present. See? Now for 2,000 years they had problems. For 2,000 years. Now remember, Brother Branham categorically said, you watch the beginning and the end. Never mind what goes on in the middle. He said, that's not what really counts. He said, God looks at that, winks in ignorance and so on. But he said, you watch that beginning and end. And that's exactly right. You go back there, he was present. And when the Holy Ghost came on the scene, it was baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' name. As he stood there, Jehovah Savior. And so they baptized the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because he was the Christ. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, Son of God, and made him Lord Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead, proved that he was Lord Jesus Christ. Now, during those 2,000 years, the name was lost. Now, whose name did Paul baptize in? Lord Jesus Christ. Who did Peter baptize in? Lord Jesus Christ. Who did anybody baptize in? Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's the beginning, and it's got to be so at the end. See? Now, he's present. Not present in body, but present in the Holy Spirit, the form of the Holy Spirit, and the wholeness is here. You cannot get away from baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been brought back to it. Now, it was identifying with him and the true heart, the heart being true, baptized in Jesus' name that brought the Holy Spirit. And now it is baptism revealed in the last day that brought the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, did you catch the twist? It was his presence there that brought the name. But when the name was finally revealed at the end time and brought back, then so must the presence come back. Because it was presence that brought it to a name. You follow me? And then all that was named left was a name. Now you talk about that new name under the thunders. You can talk what you want about it. I'm going to put any big emphasis on it at all. It's just the last day we're going to have it revealed to us. Does that mean the name gets changed, or does that mean you get the revelation of it? I don't know. I'm not trying to fool with anything. I'm just looking at it. I'll leave it be. I care less. I know how to keep my nose out of things. Just wait for God to do it. But here we are. That revealed name, when they begin to see that there was a true baptism, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was one God, brought him right back. We're in his presence. We're just waiting now for his incarnation, reincarnation. Waiting for the wedding supper. It's true. There is no other name whereby any of us can use in redemption. There is no name outside of that name that can be used in redemption, given amongst men. Now, you can talk about angels if you want. I know the first thing about them. I don't know anything about angels being redeemed. Never heard one thing about it. They don't have blood. But if they do get redeemed, I don't know about any name of the Lord Jesus Christ doing it, because this is among them. If people come along and don't want the name, no, they got it all down pat. They said, do everything in the name of Jesus, like eat your dinner, eat your supper, go to bed, get in the morning. You get baptized the same way. That's wrong. There's a formula given, see? All right. There's no name given in redemption except that name. And the command to identify is given by God himself. For the Scripture says, what does hinder anyone from rising and calling on the name of the Lord to wash away his sin, identifying himself in water, and arising to receive the Holy Spirit? Now, good, we're going to get out of here just in time. We're going to start to conclude with this definite thought. If repentance is the actual result of the revealed or spoken or preached word, and water baptism is the quickened consequence of that word so that you quickly go in the water, then that person coming out of the water must continue to be quickened only in one way. Now you lost me, didn't you? Now, there's nothing to what I said as simple as ABC. What got the man in the water? The Word. The Word was quickened to him, and he was quickened by the Word to go in the water. Now, how did he get the Holy Ghost? The Word was quickened. Now then, if it starts that way, it's got to continue that way. Now, I hope you begin to see what I'm looking at. And that is this. How can you say you've been quickened and turn down the Word for the hour? You couldn't have been quickened. I don't care what the person says. Go back to baptism in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Go back to joining churches. Going away from the prophet. Going back to Pentecost. Not name your names, except to get in trouble. So I'll just leave it alone. Except let them come and talk with me. And I'll read your pedigree and see in a care less. Because they're wrong. There can't be any quickening. Because it's got to be all the way. How would a person say, I'm quickened to the Word and baptize the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and call William Branham a false prophet? He was no more quickened than nothing. See? There was no quickening there. Just like old Simon. See? What I'm trying to say now, we went into a baptism that does his voice. We went into a preaching that's voice. Because Paul said you can believe in vain. Won't do you any good. That's going to cause you debt. Because either receive much or going to be required much. Receive many stripes. Alright, that word must come alive. Every word must have life at the hour for which the word is given. It had life back there. A whole bunch of people crucified Christ. Nobody stood with him on that day. Oh, some did their best there. You know, they fell sorry and they hid, which I don't mind. I don't, that they had to be that way. But the nation rose up and they said, blood be on us and our children. And they stood there and said, amen and amen. They were happy. They've been paying for it. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. There was so much adversity. There was so much against that word. But I'm going to tell you, God backed that word. That word was alive at Pentecost. That word is alive after Pentecost. And those men stood there and preached. And men's hearts were changed because the word was quickened to them. Faith came. And they walked in that water and they did receive the Holy Ghost. But there was millions, there's hundreds of thousands stood there and they weren't quick to do anything but to gnash their teeth into blaspheme. And did their best to kill those who were baptized both with water and with the Holy Ghost. They've done it for year after year after, and the same people say, yes, hallelujah, we believe in God, we believe in His Son, we're born again, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, and no more born again than nothing. You know why? They've never been quickened to the Word. That's why when they died in Roman Catholicism, then Luther came on the scene, and they were quickened under Luther. Then the Lutherans died under Wesley, the Wesleys were quickened. And the Wesleys died under Pentecost, and Pentecost was quickened. And now Pentecost is dead, and we're quickened. You can say what you want. Because the life of the Word for this hour, this hour is he that believeth in me shall never die. Somebody's got to believe it. You say, oh, Brother Ben, I don't believe that anybody can really believe that. Hogwash, I believe it. I keep telling you, I'm going to get out of here by death, because it'd be much easier, much nicer. You know why? Because I don't go by feelings anymore. He said, Brother Vail, are you afraid in myself? Sure I would be afraid, but he said so. I'm not afraid now because I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to listen to myself where voices would break in upon my conscience. I refuse in the name of Jesus Christ. I've been sealed into His Word. Shut up. I haven't got time for nonsense anymore. Tell me why I should go by feelings. What's that got to do with the Word? Where was my feelings when God was in the beginning? Where was your feelings? Where was anything before there was a speck of stardust? And get back there. Feelings don't have a thing to do with it. Just Word. Sure, I'd be afraid to die. And this and that and the other thing. There's no fear there. Now, why should there be? Because it's His Word. You got to come like Abraham someday if you're a child of Abraham. Old Abraham, no doubt he had more arthritis and more everything. The night he got changed, he was older, rougher, and tougher than the last 5 minutes of any time in his life. Yeah, Coleman couldn't see that. He thought it was negative, Lloyd. And I stood there and proclaimed it. It might be the roughest, toughest part of my life. And I lived and not died because he said so. You see, why have you got the assurance that he could die? Because it's the word of the hour. That's what's been quickened. You got something else quicker than you have it. You want to be like the old maid to kiss the cow? Fine. Any red-blooded woman's going to kiss a good man. You want to kiss your cotton-picking creeds and dogs that are full of hell and death? Go kiss them. I turn to kiss the sun that's being. Well, people are all mixed up. We ain't mixed up, brother, sister. That's why the word is preached hard here. We're not mixed up. You bet your life we're not mixed up. No, I am not mixed up. You better believe it. I was mixed up at one time. Mixed up, messed up, everything else. Oh, yes, when that hand of God comes on the scene, His presence. And the revival begins to start in the bride. Something begins to happen. Well, nobody wants it, but I get testimonies all the time, phone calls, everything. It's always the same story. Something's happened. That's why they get so mad. That's why the people outside, they gnash their teeth and make up all kinds of lies and all. They lie, 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 day and night. Just lie right in your teeth. Like the whore that can lie with a man. And take his money. Nothing more. Well, it's the way of life, she said. She's like eating a chunk of bread. If you wipe your mouth after you eat your bread with the butter, and you sweat like this. That's all there is to it. So she goes and cleans up for the next dog. Now, dogs, like the king of God. He loveth and maketh a lie. Yeah, look. Don't fool around, brother, sister. It's too late in the day. Every word must have life at the hour for which that word is given. And today the word is given for the living at the time of the resurrection. Come on. We've been going to 1 Thessalonians 4 for how many sermons? How long have I preached it to you? Based on the tremendous revelation the prophet gave it. Verse 13, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, you that are living, concerning them which are asleep. There's a word for the living at the time of the resurrection. The Lord shall descend with a shout. Can't these guys that fight this message all the time understand that? They think old Eviel's got some kind of doctrine. Let's find out if I got a doctrine. I want you to know this for sure. And you that listen to this tape, come on, you birds up there, listen to this tape. You might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, being I was packing this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing. No more than just the voice, and the Lord shall descend with the voice. You tell me Jesus Christ is going to come down here in the flesh and bring us a message? You're crazy. That's to the Jews. Behold my hands and my feet. Oh, they're smart. They're so smart. They're so smart they just lie to my good buddies and say, Lee Vail running around the world, bringing churches. So the guy said, all right, now that you said it, name the places and the dates. Yeah, Lee Vail sit at home here all the time. I'd like to leave this May and get away a little bit. I didn't go and take myself a vacation or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I better believe one thing, I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. See? And my voice, even against my better judgment, I was a skunk skinner. Smell like a skunk. Us ordinary birds smell like manure heaps, and prophets smell like skunks. Whoopee for us. Now let me tell you something. He takes the beggar off the dung heap. He doesn't take the dung off the dung heap. He takes the beggar off and makes him a prince. that sink in. If your mind can travel like mine, you thought, you caught something. If it doesn't, well, forget it. Learn to think like me. You shouldn't be a dirty dog, as I am. Oh, no, I've been cleaned up. I'm not a dirty dog. I tell you, Brother Sister, he doesn't pick the manure off the heap and make a print. He picks the print, which is in the form of a beggar, off the manure heap and leaves the manure there. God doesn't deal with manure, giving them revelation in garbage tins. Yeah. The will of my Father I declare to do in eternity. I wasn't the one that appeared on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. And he's the voice of the one that appeared. Shout! Is the message. Yeah, Sister Branham herself told me she turned to Bill after that when she bowed her head to the river. And she said, Bill, I don't understand. She said, that was your voice I heard. I said, certainly, Sister Media, I'll show you in the scripture where it's found. That's what he said. What's he going to do, come back here in the flesh and give us a message? The only message he can do in the flesh is open his arms and welcome his bride. We'll be so busy hugging him and loving him and crowning him. And actions speak louder than words. Listen, my brother, sister, we will have had it all. Hey, I feel good. Bless God. This is just on water baptism. Where do we get moving? I'm just kidding you, of course, because I just teasing you. You know, I'm just teasing you. Now listen, every word must have life at that hour for which the word is given. As the day the word is given for the living at the time of the resurrection. When that word is quickened to us, there will be a resurrection that follows by a rapture. Water baptism signifies that. Now, I'm going to close with this. During these messages, my priest, I've been keeping on telling you the importance of water baptism was kind of evading me. Wonder why it's so important. What about it is so important? Going into that water. Well, as I thought about it today and yesterday, the simplicity struck me again. And I just about laughed because there again, I'm a complex person, you're a complex person, just like I am. And I began thinking, hey, just a minute. He told him to. That's enough right there. That's enough right there. And they got to thinking, the same one that told him is here that tells us things. No wonder the women quickly let their hair grow. Quickly let the hem down. The men quickly become godly men, head of the house. I see Catholics come in. They don't any more than, Brother Brown would say, a Hottentot knows about an Egyptian knight and can't tell split peas from buttermilk. Whatever that means, split beans and buttermilk. That's pretty good. You can't tell that. But suddenly, there's no problem. Just walk right down that road. There was a commandment given. And the commandments of God are not grievous. The word of God is not grievous. So what happened? See, the word came, you must be baptized. So that was it. But then, a friend of mine phoned the other day and he talked about the future home. And I thought, well, I'll pick that up and read it. It was predestinated. In there, Brother Brown said we'd get baptized in his name to show to whom we belong. So it signifies you walk in that water too, and you belong to him from now on. You left the world. You left all of these things. See, you don't belong anymore to cosmos. You don't belong to anybody else, anything else. You belong to him. It's a wonderful witness. To say then, as a woman said in the Songs of Solomon, my beloved is mine, I am his. The beginning of a love affair. Walking in the water. The type of going over Jordan. It's a type of a lot of things. Water baptism types a lot. It types the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bring your dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Almighty God because there's a life in you. It's significant of water, the trials of life. But Jesus bear the cross alone, all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Knowing all creation is groaning. There's many, many things in water baptism. But it signifies the beautiful, glorious fact that going in that water signifies I belong to him. Where he leads me, I'll follow. The first step was eating in water. That is tangible, demonstrable. What goes inside your mind and heart, nobody else can know but you. And you can manifest in such a sweet, wonderful way. You're such a wonderful Christian, being but a twofold child of hell. Yeah. That wouldn't show it. You can go to the Indians, the Hindus, they show a lot of love. Christian Science shows a lot of love. And I suppose the Plymouth Mormons show a lot of love. They seem to want to throw a lot of them around. Yeah. You fall in the water. See, people don't realize it's significant. But you know something? I don't feel too bad at not knowing these things I know tonight. And I don't want you to feel bad that you know a lot of things you didn't know except in the last 2 weeks. Because look, you know them now. And if you know them now, you rejoice in what you had and didn't know you had it. I remember I told you years ago, I was on the road preaching. I didn't have any money. I guess my wife hadn't got her money yet, and I hadn't. She worked, and I think she'd working at that time. And we were pretty well broke because, you know, there was very little coming in by preaching, just peanuts. If you could, well, these gave the shells. They kept the peanuts and gave you the shells. You know, thought like a chicken or something instead of a monkey. Monkeys like peanuts, and they throw the shells to chickens. So anyway, I had the strangest feeling one time to go and look in the closet and reach in a pocket. And I said, what for? Ain't nothing in the pocket. No use looking in the pocket. There's nothing there. But I couldn't get away from it. So I walked the closet, reached the pocket. There's a $5 bill. I didn't know I had a $5 bill and I had it. Well, it's the same way tonight. You didn't know what you had in water baptism, but you got it. You didn't know what you're doing, but now you do. So what does it matter? Jesus said himself, you don't know now, but you'll know hereafter. There's a lot of things we're beginning to understand. There are lots of things we may never understand. But maybe we're supposed to. But there's a time and place for everything. And here's the beauty, what I want to get you to. We couldn't understand these things till this hour. Because everything had death in it. It was an admixture. But it's not there anymore. Since the seals were open, that was just righteous is righteous. That was just perfect, perfect. That was just sinful is sinful. The whole thing lays up before us. And day by day, the path of the righteous is shining more and more to the perfect day. Brother, sister, one of these we're going to get out of here. And we're going to know that water baptism was significant. That I belong to Him. I started to follow Him. I've gone through the waters of life. And it's been good. I look back on years. I've told you many times. I've been where other men in this message, many men have never been. And that's why I don't listen to anybody. When you've been where I've been, you start talking before then. You just keep quiet and sit to one side. I mean it with all my heart. I don't tell Brother Evans how to run his farm. I don't tell Dave how to run his engineering down at the base. I don't tell Don how to weld. I don't tell Bill how to put the cars together and how to Jim to be a mechanic or take care of those blocks down there. I never went and told Lloyd anything about hydraulics. And believe me, the only thing I tell anybody is maybe would you care to know how I make a certain cake or something or how I prepare a sermon. I don't tell anybody anything, see. Not that I've got anything to tell anybody. I can't do it. I'm not smart to tell anybody anything. No way, shape, and form. But I want to tell you something. These seals are open. And there's a knowledge that God gives us. And that knowledge comes to us in this hour. And it's the knowledge of this hour, my brother and my sister, that we are to attend to. Not what's down the road, like you pulled off in Germany. And brought over here to America and ran around the world and say, the book of Zechariah says this has to do with the Jews. And listen, therefore, Brother Branham has got to be wrong because you see, this has to do with the Jews. That doesn't have anything to do with you. So shut your big fat trap and sit down. It's what belongs to you. See? Nobody tries to tell anybody anything. Nobody gets anybody's hair. Construct anybody. We've already had it laid out here. There's a perfect word of Almighty God, a beautiful word of God. So there it is tonight. The Lord bless you. I hope you understand more than you ever understood me. And I hope it's doing something to you. Brother, sister, I don't know. Look, I don't run to your home. I'm going to try to visit more than I have now. If I can hack it, I'll do it. See, up here I feel good. All day today I was not just restless. I was just completely beat down. But look, here. The thing is this. I want you to understand this. Something is happening in people. I believe it's what you call the bride. And it's not a restless moving anymore. No. Oh, there's lots of nerves. Look, there will be till we're out of here. But something is happening in a bride. And it is so evident. Now listen, let's get this straight. It is so evident that there is an animation that comes from a life within a life that the others don't have. And you can see it, and you can feel it. And it doesn't have a thing to do with the emotions. No. It has to do with the witness. If I talked all night, I couldn't explain it. There's no way. And if I talked all night, I'd tip my hand, and I'm not about to tip my hand because it is not right. It's not smart. You have faith, you keep it yourself. And I don't have any great secrets, so don't think I'm saying that. I'm just saying it is not wise when things go on tape and you talk to anybody that you try to explain too much. There comes a time when you stop because there is no way to explain, but you raise doubt and wonderment and criticism and all the rest, and it isn't worth it. But let me tell you something, brother, sister. The bride is coming together right around this word, and that life in the word is more and more the life of God in a resurrection. And as those dead are corrupted and can do nothing for themselves, neither can we. And He is doing it all. And when we know it, the wheel within the wheel begins to move. And you know you're getting out of here. Yeah? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. I'll ever adore Him. I'll ever adore Him. I'll ever adore Him. Because He first loved me. You know, you can't get this far and not feel like if there's a tank of water here, we'd all go through it. But you don't need to, brother. I don't dwell on people's emotions and have some kind of a altar call and say, hey, we better be baptized because something's coming. Listen, you've already been baptized. Huh? Sure, we don't work those little rackets and deals and things. We just want you to know who and what you are, what your identification was. What it was that happened when you made a witness in that day. Who you said you belonged to. So I didn't know I did that, but you did it. Huh? But you did it. Isn't that wonderful? See, the grace of God, isn't it? Heavenly Father, Thou hast piled grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy, word upon word with the life within the word. Lord, how can we... Father, it's just impossible to say the things that we would like to say and should say and know that somehow within us lies a capability, a potential to say it at the right time and all. And we're grateful, Lord. We're simply standing on the promise tonight, Lord. We will not be denied, no way, shape, and form. I know, Father, there was a time when when it would seem so evident and it was so necessary to believe for healing, and I might be happy to heal right tonight, Lord, just like a kid again, but and that'd be good, but I know I'd have to down the years look for something else again, and Lord, I'm looking at what I want right now, which is You here to change it, and I don't think it'd be smart on my part. It would be honoring You to And I hope I'm staying right, Lord, to get my eyes off You in Your presence, in Your word here. And I'm just very grateful to you, Heavenly Father. I'm very, very, very grateful. And say with the prophet, why aren't we on our faces prostrate before you? That's true. And, one of these days when it breaks, and you come at a time for that. I know that, Lord. In the meantime, it's grace for grace, and the wonder of it all is so thrilling and so beautiful and so marvelous. Now, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for it. And pray now that you'll settle our hearts and our minds and our ways in thee, O God, and help us to quit ourselves like men to do what we ought to do and face what we ought to face for the glory of God, because we're come to that hour now. We know we're in it. We know we're in it, Lord, that and it's good. We're glad for that. We're glad that the reality's here and everything is taken on the texture of it, so that it won't be long until you'll be able to clean the earth up and bring the people back here for it. And in the meantime, Lord, we're coming more and more to that hour. And I want to be within myself, Lord, fully amenable with my change of mind to reveal word, that constant process, that constant witnessing, and that constant owning to whose property I am and these people are, Lord, and going right on and on, until right to the tree of life we walk into Eden. And that's the hour. And we're happy, Lord, that though many people ahead of us knew of these things, that just like way back, they knew the Gentiles were coming in, but they didn't until a certain hour. And we know that people wrote about this hour and they knew it was coming. And here we are, the ones that's coming upon. And nobody therefore will know as we know. And we're thankful for that. So we just, praise thee and ask you to be with us, to just keep the oil flowing, Lord, and the wine, stimulation, and all those things pertinent to it, and the love of Almighty God over all of us, Lord, and just grace for grace and tremendous measures, and let love abound. Let love abound, O God, amongst us, as the prophet said, and unto thee we'll ascribe the honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was going to talk to the men tonight, but the very ones I wanted to talk to aren't here, because they had to ask a question or two, so I'll let that go. But I think the ladies might want to talk a little bit about Sunday. It's kind of a good idea if you save some duplication. Anything you want to work up for Sunday's fine. So good. All right. We just consider yourself dismissed. Let's take the name of Jesus with you.